This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Have you ever found yourself sitting at your desk just staring at a monthly marketing report that is, well, it's absolutely overflowing with these impressive sounding numbers?
Oh, the classic vanity metrics report.
Exactly. Like, you're looking at thousands of impressions, a massive spike in clicks, incredible engagement rates, and you're feeling pretty good about it.
Right up until you check the actual bank account?
Yes. Because then you cross-reference that beautiful, highly colorful chart with your actual sales revenue for the month, and you realize those numbers didn't translate into actual dollars, like, at all.
Not a single cent.
Right. I mean, it feels a bit like looking at a weather report that says it's sunny while you are literally standing outside in a thunderstorm.
It really does. And, you know, it's a profoundly frustrating experience that business leaders are facing so much more frequently today. There is just this massive disconnect between the activity being reported and the reality of the balance sheet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we tend to think of data as this objective truth, right? But in the current digital landscape, data can be incredibly deceiving if it's not structured correctly right from the ground up.
And that disconnect, that's really the core mission for today's deep dive. We are exploring why the absolute most crucial business investment you can make in the year 2026 is not launching some flashy new social media channel.
Or hiring the next big influencer.
Right. It's something that sounds infinitely less glamorous, but is vastly more powerful, which is completely overhauling your back-end data infrastructure.
It's the nuts and bolts stuff.
Exactly. And we're drawing for this really fascinating article by Jo Medico. She's the director of client services at Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Yeah, the piece is called Invest in Better Data, Marketing Data Infrastructure.
That's the one. And I just love how it frames this seemingly dry topic of, you know, data infrastructure as an absolute secret weapon for growth.
Well, establishing the stakes here is just so critical. I mean, we are operating in a world where third-party cookies have essentially vanished. Like, they are gone.
Gone.
Privacy blockers are just the default on most devices now. Plus, artificial intelligence is fundamentally shifting how information is even retrieved online. So the old methodologies for tracking consumer behavior on the internet, they are entirely broken.
Right.
Relying on marketing playbooks from even 3 or 4 years ago means a business is just flying completely blind at this point. Guessing is simply no longer an option.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we get into the actual technical mechanics of fixing that data, the source material points out this behavioral trap that businesses fall into.
Right, when their growth stalls out.
Yeah. Jo Medico calls it the shiny object trap. When a company hits a plateau or lead velocity suddenly stalls, the immediate corporate instinct is usually panic.
Oh, total panic. And that panic almost always translates into expansion. Like, the default reaction from leadership is additive.
Additive, meaning they just want to do more stuff.
Exactly. The thought process usually goes, well, our current strategy isn't working, so we need to do more. Leadership suddenly decides they need to launch LinkedIn ads immediately.
Or start a corporate podcast.
Right. Or jump onto whatever new social media app is trending this quarter. They attempt to cast a wider net, essentially, to capture more attention.
But Medico argues that in our 2026 reality, this strategy is basically an expensive illusion, right?
Yep.
She brings up this concept of the AI slump.
Yes, the AI slump is a huge factor here.
Because traditional search engine clicks are contracting. People are no longer just typing questions into a search bar and, you know, clicking through 10 blue links to browse different websites.
Right, they don't have to anymore. They are getting synthesized answers directly from AI interfaces.
Exactly. So if a business runs broad, unmeasured, multi-channel campaigns in this environment, they aren't actually casting a wider net. They're just fragmenting their budget into absolute oblivion.
We can actually break down the math on how quickly that budget incineration happens because it's alarming.
Oh, please do.
Imagine a mid-sized enterprise software company, right? And they're deploying a $15,000 monthly marketing allocation.
$15K.
In the additive panic model, they take that budget and slice it up across 5 different uncoordinated channels. That leaves just $3,000 per channel.
Right. Which doesn't go very far.
Exactly. Once you subtract agency retainers and the actual production costs, the media spend left over is completely marginal. But here's the real kicker. ad networks are currently just flooded with non-human traffic.
Oh, right, the bots.
Yes. Industry averages show that a massive percentage of standard display and social clicks are literally just from malicious click bots or scraper tools.
Okay, let me make sure I'm tracking with you here. If you are paying for generic clicks without a system to verify who or what is actually clicking, a massive chunk of that fragmented budget is just evaporating.
It's gone. You are literally paying for bots to visit your site.
Wow.
Yeah.
It makes me think of someone trying to fix a fundamental problem with their house by, like, buying lottery tickets.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it. Right. Like, your business has a leaky roof, water's just pouring in, you're losing money. And instead of fixing the structural integrity of the roof, you run out and buy scratch-offs across 5 different gas stations.
Hoping you'll just win enough to buy a brand new house altogether.
Exactly. Channel hopping is the lottery ticket. You hope a new platform magically solves the revenue problem when the foundation itself is what's compromised.
And that's exactly why renting temporary attention from unmonitored digital ad platforms is a massive liability, especially without absolute attribution clarity.
You just can't afford the waste.
You really can't. You cannot afford agency fluff about brand awareness or these vague promises about future algorithm updates, not when your cash flow is actively bleeding out to non-human traffic.
Yeah, well, they need a structural solution.
Yes, which DoubleDome calls building a first-party revenue engine. And the very first necessary step there is transitioning away from legacy browser-based tracking to what's called server-side conversion API tracking.
Or KPI.
Right, CAPI for short. Okay, so to understand why server-side CPI is so necessary, we probably have to look at why the old way broke in the first place.
That's a good place to start.
Because for years, digital marketing just relied on browser pixels and third-party cookies. These were little snippets of code dropped into a user's web browser to track their movements across the internet.
Yeah, the whole industry relied heavily on those cookies to report back to platforms like Facebook or Google. They'd say, hey, this user clicked an ad, browsed a product, and eventually made a purchase.
But the problem is that browsers themselves fundamentally changed, right? Like Safari, Firefox, and eventually even Chrome began aggressively blocking third-party tracking natively.
Exactly. And on top of that, consumer privacy tools and ad blockers just became ubiquitous. Everyone has them.
So the browser pixel is effectively blindfolded now.
Mm-hmm.
The analogy that comes to my mind here is comparing that old browser pixel to a really gullible street promoter standing outside a nightclub.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Right. So he's handing out flyers and tracking how many people take one and walk through the front doors. And he reports back to the club owner that, hey, 100 people came in for my flyers.
But he has zero visibility into whether those people actually bought a drink or if they just, you know, used the bathroom and walked out the back door.
Exactly. Because of all these privacy blockers, the promoter can't see inside the club anymore. But server-side CPI changes that architecture entirely.
It bypasses the user's browser completely. Instead of relying on this fragile, easily blocked connection in the browser to report an action, your own hosting database, your secure server, communicates directly with the ad network's server.
Oh, wow. So it's a direct line.
Precisely. When a transaction happens on your backend, your server sends an encrypted, verified signal directly to the platform.
So it is like firing the street promoter and hiring a strict bouncer for the VIP room.
Exactly.
The bouncer checks IDs against a master list.
Yeah.
The bouncer is your hosting database. It stops the bot clicks at the door and only verifies actual human buyers.
And then it passes that pristine data back to the marketing platforms.
Yeah.
So you are actively protecting your capital by ensuring your advertising budget is optimized strictly against verified human action rather than just automated spam.
And that makes total sense.
But verifying that the traffic is human is really only half the battle here, because a human clicking around your website does not pay your payroll.
Unfortunately not.
Right. The operational data layer has to connect those verified humans directly to your actual financial outcomes. Which brings us to the CRM.
Yes, pillar two. Because the source material focuses heavily on rewriting the routing inside a company's customer relationship management system.
Right. The objective there is to connect a digital marketing touchpoint directly to a closed one invoice metric. You are effectively filtering out all that vanity-led volume.
But wait, let me push back on that for a second. If we are filtering out leads that don't immediately turn into an invoice, aren't we throwing away future prospects?
I hear that a lot.
Because sales teams usually want the biggest list possible to work with, right?
Yeah.
How is a massive list of leads a bad thing?
It's a critical distinction to make between pipeline volume and pipeline velocity. Bad leads are actively harmful to an organization for two very specific reasons.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first is operational drag. If a marketing campaign generates, say, 500 low-quality form fills, your sales team is burning hundreds of expensive labor hours just chasing down tire kickers.
Or unqualified prospects, or just outright spam.
Exactly. But the second reason is far more dangerous, and that's algorithmic training.
Oh, interesting.
Modern ad platforms use machine learning to find your customers. If your CRM is configured to send a success signal back to Google every time a generic form is filled out, the algorithm analyzes the data profile of those 500 low-quality leads.
Oh, wow. So you are inadvertently teaching the AI to go find more people who look exactly like the prospects who will never buy your product.
Yes. You are quite literally spending your ad budget to optimize your campaigns for failure. The algorithm will efficiently deliver thousands of the exact wrong people because you defined a mere form fill as a success.
That is terrifying. So rewriting the CRM routing to only trigger that data post back when an invoice is actually pay to close one event that completely changes the feedback loop.
It changes everything. You are feeding the ad platforms a pristine diet of data that represents true paying customers.
And this mechanism creates what Medico calls the unclouded CEO dashboard, right?
That's the ultimate goal.
It's a screen that strips away all the marketing jargon, the impressions, the engagement rates, and simply reads, I spent X dollars and I made Y dollars.
Sheer clarity.
It isolates the 20% of your current efforts that are producing 80% of your actual contract signatures.
But achieving that mathematical visibility requires immense organizational discipline.
How do you mean?
Well, once a business leader actually sees that dashboard, they have to act on the empirical evidence. If the server side and CRM data definitively prove that, say, the expensive corporate podcast isn't driving a single closed invoice,
I have to cut it.
The business must ruthlessly prune it, regardless of how much the leadership team enjoys producing it. A proprietary first-party data asset is a company's only true defense mechanism in a landscape where third-party data is obsolete.
So securing first-party human data and tying it to revenue solves the problem of traditional ad platforms. But the source material outlines another layer to this infrastructure, addressing the giant elephant in the room for 2026.
Ah, yes. Artificial intelligence.
Right. Because it is no longer enough to structure data just for human buyers or even ad algorithms, businesses must now structure their data to be validated by AI search engines.
Because the contraction of traditional search means that consumers, and especially enterprise buyers, are increasingly asking tools like ChatGPT or Google Gemini or Claude to just synthesize solutions for them.
These AI models are the new gatekeepers of information.
Exactly. And they do not parse the internet in the same way a human reader does.
Jo Medico emphasizes this point really strongly. She says, AI search tools do not read generic text. They evaluate what she calls data confidence signals.
Right. When a buyer asks an AI to recommend an enterprise software vendor, the bot is not sitting there reading your company's beautifully crafted About Us page to evaluate your corporate culture.
Right. It doesn't care about your narrative prose.
Not at all. The large language model is scanning for undeniable structured facts to weigh against competing options. It is looking for machine-readable entity validation.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's break down the mechanics of how a business actually provides those confidence signals to an AI.
Okay, let's get into the weeds a bit.
Because it involves embedding advanced schema tracking nodes into the back-end architecture. This isn't just, you know, writing clearer paragraphs on a website. It is an entirely different language operating beneath the visual layer.
Yeah, schema markup, which is often implemented using formats like JSON-LD, is a standardized vocabulary of code. It categorizes the information on a website into specific, rigidly defined entities.
So instead of a paragraph that just kind of implies you sell inventory management software in Chicago for $500 a month, schema tracking nodes explicitly tag that data.
Yes, it tells the bot clearly. Entity type, software application, category, inventory management, location, Chicago, pricing model, $500 a month.
The analogy for this mechanism that really works for me is applying for a job at a massive multinational corporation.
Okay, how so?
If a candidate writes this narrative resume with flowing paragraphs detailing their entire career journey, a human hiring manager might find it super compelling. But the automated applicant tracking system, the ATS.
Oh, right, the software that scans it first.
Right. The ATS that scans thousands of resumes before a human ever even sees them, it will instantly reject it. Because the ATS cannot parse narrative prose. It is programmed to look for specific structured data points, keywords, and dates.
That's a perfect comparison.
Embedding schema tracking nodes is exactly like formatting your company's entire digital presence to pass the ultimate ATS filter for AI engines. You are converting your website from a visual brochure designed for humans into a highly organized database of verified facts for bots.
And a business that fails to implement this structured data layer effectively, well, they essentially do not exist in the modern digital ecosystem.
They're invisible.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The AI slump doesn't signal the end of consumers searching for solutions. It just signals a fundamental shift from keyword matching to entity verification.
Right.
When a bot synthesizes an answer for a user, it defaults to the highest confidence data available. So by organizing your infrastructure with schema nodes, you cement your business as a verified entity.
Which highly increases the probability of being indexed as the undisputed preferred answer.
Exactly. The optimization strategy is no longer about tricking a search engine into ranking a page higher just so a human can click it.
It is about providing absolute, structured certainty to an AI that is making a recommendation on behalf of a human buyer.
Because AI models are probabilistic engines. They favor certainty above all else. Clean, structured, first-party data provides the mathematical certainty those models require to confidently recommend a brand.
Bringing all of these technical elements together really paints a very stark contrast between the old way of operating and this new mandate.
It's night and day.
Medico provides this comparison matrix in the article between legacy channel hopping and a 2026 marketing data infrastructure.
Yeah.
And the legacy strategy is just so reactionary.
It's all based on fear and guessing.
Right. It focuses on adding more social and paid platforms to make up for lost revenue. It relies on fragmented browser cookies that are blocked by default anyway. And it yields these vague reports focused on vanity metrics like impressions.
Which leaves a business totally lost in broad multi-channel noise and incredibly vulnerable to that budget-draining bot traffic we talked about.
So as a listener, it is really worth asking yourself how much agency fluff you have tolerated in your own reporting over the years.
Oh, I'm sure people are wincing right now.
Right. Like, how many times have you sat through a quarterly presentation where an agency justified your marketing spend by highlighting a brand lift or an increase in engagement reach while your actual sales pipeline sat completely flat?
Too many times, I'm sure.
Wow.
But the mandate for 2026 is uncompromising. A business does not need more random traffic. It needs actual customers.
Yes.
And the path to acquiring them predictably requires stripping away the multi-channel guesswork entirely. DoubleDome refers to this as evidence-based scaling.
Moving beyond the jargon and making every single channel decision based on hard empirical evidence. That gives leadership complete executive data confidence.
Which is incredibly freeing.
Right, because if a business builds this technical backbone first, they actually have the clarity to test a new channel like LinkedIn ads, right?
Yeah.
Because the infrastructure will immediately report the exact financial return generated by that test.
Exactly. Building the operational data layer is the absolute prerequisite for scaling sustainably without draining your cash flow. By cleaning up the data layers, adapting to the technical shifts in privacy and AI, and eliminating the budget waste from non-human traffic.
You transition from running temporary attention to building a proprietary, durable asset.
Precisely.
Let's retrace the path we took today to arrive at this operational clarity.
Mm.
We started by identifying the danger of the shiny object trap. You know, that reflexive urge to launch new marketing channels when revenue stalls.
The additive panic.
Right. Then we learned how fragmented budgets are just quickly incinerated by malicious clickbots in the current landscape. We traced the death of the third-party cookie and the necessity of building server-side tracking.
The strict bouncer checking IDs.
Exactly. Passing only verified human data back to the platforms. We examined the algorithmic danger of optimizing for vanity leads and why the CRM must be rerouted to only feed closed-won invoice data back to the machine learning models.
You can't train the AI to find bad leads.
Right. And finally, we explored the hidden code layer of schema tracking nodes, formatting corporate data to pass the AI equivalent of an applicant tracking system.
And all of these mechanisms serve a single unified purpose. Aligning the reported metrics with the reality of the balance sheet.
Which is what it's all about.
So consider this scenario for a moment. If an enterprise client, someone sitting squarely in your exact target market, opened up an AI interface right now and prompted it for a vendor recommendation in your industry, what does your business's digital footprint actually look like to that machine?
That's a great question.
Is your data structured to ensure you are recognized as an undeniable machine-readable fact? Or are you just a collection of generic text floating in the multi-channel noise?
That is the defining question for business leaders in 2026. Think back to that frustrating marketing report full of clicks but empty on sales. The infrastructure we unpack today is the blueprint for fixing that report, ensuring that the numbers on the page finally match the money in the bank. Stay curious, keep questioning the mechanics behind your metrics, and always look deeper into the structure of your data.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.